Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Over its five-decade history and multiple generations of gaming systems, Nintendo has been home to some of the most notable bad guys in video game history. Some are original creations who only torment the heroes on Nintendo-owned titles, some are third-party nemeses who have also appeared on other systems, and some are video game adaptations of bad guys from other existing IPs. What they all have in common is that they are all so good at being so bad, and now the great pop culture debate wants to determine the best Nintendo villain of all time. As much as I enjoy fighting Bowser, I'm still waiting for the first in-game appearance of the real evil that is Sha-Na-Na. I'm your host, Eric Resniak. Please help me welcome my panelists for this episode, all guests to the great pop culture debate. Like Mewtwo, his moveset often includes confusion and frustration. Please welcome longtime great pop culture debate Patreon supporter and Nintendo superfan, Harry Loizides.
Hello, Super Ninfriendos.
Super Ninfriendos, I love it. Now, in the dating world, Harry, you need to watch out for those shadow balls. Next, much like Ganondorf, my next panelist's final form is also a pig. Please welcome back Dr. Ryan Androsiglio.
Oh, Daddy Ganondorf can get it.
He can, actually. Speaking of Zelda, I think we can all agree that when it comes to her fashion sense, she's quite chic. And finally, welcome the Patreon sponsor for this episode. He'll be dancing mad if his final pick doesn't win. It's Dr. Chad Resniak.
I will smite you with my light of judgment from the top of my tower if you do not pick what I say.
I would expect nothing less. And just for those listening at home, yes, he is my brother, and we refer to our family reunions as the World of Ruin. In the interest of time, we're going to skip the preamble, which you can now find in bonus primers on our feed, but do head over to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the listener bracket for this episode so you can play along at home. And with that out of the way, let's blow on this cartridge and move into these debates. First up, it's a unanimous decision for Bowser from the Mario franchise, who slapped away Master Hand from the Smash Bros. Series. Next, the panel is evenly split between two science fiction creatures, Ridley from Metroid and Mewtwo from the Pokemon games. Chad, explain why Ridley keeps dragging your heart around. Harry, tell us why Mewtwo is the more evolved choice here. Chad, you can go first.
This was originally a vote against Mewtwo because I don't do Pokemon very much, so Mewtwo doesn't really do that much for me. But as I was doing some research for this, Ridley is actually, it appears to be the main antagonist across the Metroid series. So I haven't done most of the newer ones, but I mean, Ridley comes back in all different shapes, sizes, colors, forms, robot Ridley. It's a little lame that he keeps being cloned, but I mean, it's a gigantic winged pterosaur looking thing. It's got this nasty spiny tail getting into all sorts of mischief and chaos. I think there's a lot to like about Ridley and the fact that Ridley is really the main foil to Samus Aran through most of the Metroid series.
And it's funny because the series is named after a bad guy, and yet that bad guy is not the primary antagonist.
It's true.
Harry, talk to us about Mewtwo.
I sure can, and I will right now. Mewtwo was first appeared in 1996 as one of those mysterious Pokemon in the Pokemon franchise. You eventually find out that it's a genetic recombination of Mew's DNA through horrendous and scientific experimentation, which you don't expect to see from a childish RPG. Eventually down the line, you find out that this mysterious like creature is an end game kind of thing where you need to defeat all the enemies, all the bad guys, all the masters to get a chance to fight this baddie. And as like a first gen super fan of Pokemon, this really like shocked and surprised me that it's a top tier enemy and you can even capture it, which is the point of the Pokemon to catch them all. What I thought was really fun and surprising about this character was that Mewtwo not only transcends the video game genre, but it's in all the card games. It's in over 60 other games. The story and the backstory kind of compounds itself that Mewtwo eventually becomes a baddie for Giovanni, but then he has an epiphany from the bad guys and decides to make its own shenanigan world with other clones, which I think is really funny because Ridley and Mewtwo are pretty much clones of other things. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Mewtwo transcends not only the game that it was created in, but numerous other games, card franchise, movies, has a nice story at the end of that wild movie where it's like, it's not your circumstances of birth, but rather the gift of life that determines who you are, like sticks with you as a kid and kind of gives you one of those cool story moments, not only in the movie, but also in the video game. So yeah, go from Mewtwo.
All right. Thank you. Dr. Ryan, where are you on this one?
I'm going to side with Ridley here. I did play Pokemon Red Blue, though that was the only installment of the Pokemon series I ever completed. And I remember Mewtwo being more of a final challenge than a final villain. I really wasn't getting the story element of cruelty or villainy or world dominance plots coming from Mewtwo. And for that reason, I'm going to go with our favorite space pirate commander, Ridley.
/ dragon. I actually do go with Harry on Mewtwo here. I think there's a really compelling story there, and I see why you wouldn't get it from the games, but like in Detective Pikachu, that movie, like they do a pretty decent job of making you understand where Mewtwo's coming from. That being said, it is a tie, and in a Patreon episode, we do round robins, and Dr. Chad, as the sponsor, you get the right of first call, so who you giving it to?
Oh, it's absolutely Ridley. And ooh, Ryan did a really good job of supporting something that I didn't say, which is like one of the pieces of my rubric for this episode is villainy. Like how much of a villain are they? Mm-hmm. Mewtwo seems mostly misunderstood. Like they're just sleeping in a cave and then you're going into the cave and you're messing with them. So that's not really villainous. That's just being grumpy because you got woken up. Whereas Ridley is actively out there doing all sorts of shenanigans. So
yeah,
I say Ridley.
All right. And, you know, that's what you get for fucking with the Yakuza. So thank you very much. With that being said, we're going to knock Mewtwo out of the bracket. We're going to include clips. And one thing I found while harvesting the clips for this, that's Mewtwo being knocked out in Smash Brothers. Most of the like death sounds for these villains sound a lot like something else. Like I now know what it's Ganondorf really sounds like when he's completing, as the French call it, the little death, La Petite Mort.
There is a lot of deviant art graphics.
Exactly. All right. So we will move Ridley into round two. Next, in a battle of the Mario spin-offs, the majority of the panel is choosing violence by preferring Wario from the Mario Land games, but Harry is getting his afterlife with King Boo from Luigi's Mansion. Ryan, explain why it's a you for Wario. Harry, explain why you're not scared of no ghost, and in fact, you love King Boo. Harry, you can go first.
So I love King Boo as a character because it's almost like the arch nemesis of Luigi, which is the same idea as the arch nemesis of Bowser to Mario. It came out of its original game from the Mario Luigi's Mansion, and it kind of iterated since. Like you constantly see him as a character, a big bad, with Luigi in all the Luigi Mansion games in some way, shape, or form. He even says, "It's a me, King Boo," which I thought was hilarious at the time, and I was like, "Yay, cute little thingies."
Easter eggs.
Yeah, Easter eggs. Thank you. Words. But yeah, I just found it a surprise that I'm in the minority of this because it's a fun character that has its own vibe. And it even showed off on the new Super Mario movie. And just like my other character, it's in numerous games. It's over 39 games. It's seen as a baddie, but with some humor. And not being a total baddie the whole time is one of my touchstones in a lot of the characters I chose, that some of them can be misunderstood, some of them can be complicated, some of them can be whimsical, and King Boo is definitely in the whimsy category.
Okay. So before I go to Ryan's argument, I'm going to ask Chad, have you been swayed in any way? Are you still with Team Wario here?
Absolutely not. I'm still Team Wario.
And Ryan, I'm assuming you're sticking with Wario.
Yeah, I'm definitely sticking with Wario.
So I'm going to have you save your argument. I will say, Harry, one of the things that you said were like, are they in a lot of different games and are they a villain sometimes, but also whimsical? Like, that's explicitly true for Wario, who's in like everything and has his own series at this point with like his name on it. So for me, King Boo just kind of paled. That's an undeliberate joke, but we'll take it in comparison. And we're going to move Wario into round two.
I'm a Wario. I'm going to win.
I'm
thriving at these brackets.
You're doing amazing, sweetheart. Next, in a battle of the beef, Harry is again the lone man out, preferring OG antagonist Donkey Kong from his eponymous series, while the rest of the panel wants to wrap its arms around Goro from Mortal Kombat. Harry, why don't you go ahead and explain why Donkey Kong remains a barrel of fun as a bad guy? I'll stomp for Goro, but Harry, you go first.
Well, I will say I have no affinity for Mortal Kombat, so this was an easy choice for me in terms of like DK versus Goro. I thought Donkey Kong, same vibe as the other ones, that he evolves over the years, either as a villain to a buddy to a co-villain or co-partner. And he's like the OG with Jumpman. So I thought that was a no-brainer to be like, hey, he's the guy who's literally stealing the princess for one of the first times. And he's just throwing shenanigans at you to be like, go away. I want to hang out with this girl. And yeah, that's pretty much my gist of it. I don't like Mortal Kombat, so this was an easy choice. And, you know, why not? He gives you a hammer to punch him in the face. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
It is hammer time, I will say that. So I'm going to argue Goro, but before I do that, Dr. Ryan, are you sticking with Goro here?
Oh, yeah, sticking with Daddy Goro. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Chad, are you sticking with Daddy Goro here?
I am. Can I interject for a minute?
Please.
So the thing with Donkey Kong is Donkey Kong was really only a villain in that first Donkey Kong or the first Donkey Kong game and then Donkey Kong 3. Now, that's why I made my vote that way, because like Goro is like, Goro's fine. But then in Donkey Kong Country, the Donkey Kong that's there is actually not the Donkey Kong from the original games. It's actually Donkey Kong Jr.'s kid. And Cranky Kong is the original Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you look at it from Cranky Kong, Cranky Kong's kind of a dick. So that actually does support the like villainy aspect of it. But that's probably not what people are thinking when they're thinking Donkey Kong. So a little bit more nuanced than just Goro good. But I'm on Goro team.
The reason I pick, first of all, Goro is a I think a legitimately good villain, and we'll talk about more of that in round two. But Mario to me is actually really the villain of the Donkey Kong series. This guy, as you said, Harry, he's just trying to spend some time with his lady, and this man will not stop. He is relentlessly coming after them, and then in part two, he's literally there with a whip. Like he's got Donkey Kong in a cage and his child has to save him. It's messed up. Like Mario is kind of a jerk. So I give it to Goro because I see Donkey Kong as a tragic figure, which means that Goro will continue into round two. Donkey Kong, I'm afraid it is game over. Next, it's another unanimous decision as Ganondorf from the Legend of Zelda series, Triforce, and Bison from Street Fighter out of our bracket. Next, the majority of the panel is saying Nosferatu better work to Dracula from the Castlevania series, but Chad is feeling regal by preferring King DDD from the Kirby franchise. Ryan, whip up the votes in favor of Dracula. Chad, it's hammer time. Support DDD. Chad, you can go first.
So I've never actually played a main series Kirby game. I have very little, if any, exposure to King DDD. So this is, strangely, a vote against Dracula because Castlevania is one of my favorite series of games. But here's my major argument here. If we're talking about Nintendo villains, Dracula is not an iconic Nintendo villain. He is iconic everywhere in popular media. But in terms of like the pantheon of Nintendo villains, like is Dracula, like when somebody sees Dracula, they're like, oh, that's a great Nintendo villain. No, they don't think that. Whereas DDD, I mean, when you see DDD, even me never having played any main Kirby series or anything like that, I see DDD and I'm like, that's absolutely Kirby. And that's somebody who's strongly associated with Nintendo, strongly associated with the brand. So part of the things that I'm looking for here is how iconic are they for Nintendo and the Nintendo universe. Dracula, basically a zero. DDD, strongly iconic for that particular game series. So that's my major argument there.
Okay, it's a really good argument, and it's hard to argue, but Dr. Ryan, talk to me about Dracula.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I didn't consider that Dracula is more of a Bram Stoker villain than a Nintendo villain. The original NES title, actually, in the credits, and I'm blanking on the exact names that are involved there, but I think Bela Lugosi is certainly one of them. There are a number of references in the credits that sort of give a nod to the original Bram Stoker style of Dracula. So I may be swayed on this one. I'm like now 60% Dracula, 40% DDD. Some of the reasons why I thought Dracula stuck out for me was just the perseverance. It really takes, you know, a lot of gumption to come back every 100 years to terrorize the world. So he's got that going for him. His evil plots have most to do with complete world domination and turning all the living to either undead or to vampires. And that's pretty pure evil. And also, one of my criterion on all of these matchups were what the boss fights against these villains were like. And the original NES Castlevania boss fight against Dracula is epically difficult. It's considered one of the most challenging boss fights in video game history. It requires precise timing. It is so punishing. You can literally only take four hits and you're dead. So you have to beat both forms of Dracula without getting hit four times.
Yeah, it is brutal. And I don't know if Dr. Chad remembers this, but our older brother broke at least one Nintendo controller, possibly more, in his attempts to beat Dracula. That was scary alone. Harry, great argument, Dr. Ryan. Harry, where are you on this one?
Oh, I am absolutely Team Dracula. I think undermining the fact that Dracula is a mainstay in terms of Nintendo just because it's from a prior IP is a little bit reductive, I think. But Chad's really nice, so I appreciate him. But yeah, I'm Team Dracula, and I can go more into detail in future rounds.
Harry, I grew up with Eric. There's no reason to mince words here.
It's true. I disagree with Chad.
He's there been
the poor relentless.
We've been through the crucible already.
That's right.
I want to win. I'm like 0-3 right now.
Chad, I think it's a really great argument that Dracula is not canonically Nintendo. However, my counter to that is if we're going by that, then something like Hades and Medusa from Kid Icarus also wouldn't count. And I also consider them to be Nintendo villains. This is a stupid rubric, but like Dracula appears in Smash Brothers. To me, he is a Nintendo villain. Like, and DDD, you're right, is an original Nintendo creation, but I just don't care. I don't like him. I think he's goofy. I mean, Sister comes in being brought in on, a Palantir? No, Palantir is what you use to visit. What do they call the beds that you're carrying in? A litter, whatever.
Yeah,
he's got style. He's got style. But it's a no for me. So Harry, Ryan, and I are all on Team Dracula, which means that King DDD will be out. That was King DDD's laugh, in case you needed to know.
Oh, that's terrifying.
From the original game, I think.
I think you're right. And Dracula will move on to round two. Next, the panel is evenly split between a pair of big bad Ks, King K. Rool from the Donkey Kong Country series and Kefka from Final Fantasy VI. Chad, explain why you want King K. Rool's crocodile to rock around the clock and into round two. I will explain why I'm not joking when I say that Kefka is one of the best bad guys in gaming history. I can go first. First of all, I am genuinely stunned that Chad is Team King K. Rool here.
Same. And I don't believe
it. I'm excited to hear about where this is coming from. But for me, what Kefka lacks in repeat game appearances, he makes up for in his overall success. In Final Fantasy VI, aka Final Fantasy III, if you only played it in the US, he literally achieves his goal to bring about the apocalypse, tipping the world into ruin and turning himself into a literal god in the process. the bad guy wins. And he would have gotten away with it if it weren't for Terra and those meddling kids. Featuring a fabulous clown-inspired visual by Yoshitaka Amano and a genre-defining role as the power-hungry vizier to a clueless emperor, Kefka is among the most memorable villains of not just the Final Fantasy series, but arguably any RPG. His brand of jocular nihilism predated Heath Ledger's Joker by roughly 20 years. That final battle, where you fight a multi-story Kefka as he progresses from man to angel to demon, was absolutely brain-melting when I first played it in 1994. I had never seen anything like that, and I don't think I've ever seen a more impressive boss battle sequence. Sorry, Sephiroth. Kefka has gone on to appear in several Final Fantasy spin-off games, including the fighting series Dissidia, as a playable fighter. While Sephiroth may have more overall cultural cachet, he's only recently made it onto Nintendo systems in the past few years. Kefka's been here a lot longer, and frankly, he did it better. Chad, I can feel your irritation. Go for it.
No, I mean, you know how much I love Kefka, which makes this kind of weird for me to be on the opposite side of the argument. And it really comes down to the number of appearances. I mean, his major appearance on an NES or on a Nintendo system was Final Fantasy VI. 14 is not on any of the Nintendo systems. But if you guys haven't, and I know you haven't played 14 in a while, like if you do the extreme version of his boss fight in there, it goes through all the phases. It's amazing. It's just an incredible fight. But then I don't remember some of the other ones you mentioned. I don't think Dissidia was a Nintendo title either.
It wasn't.
That was all.
It wasn't.
Yeah. So that's, again, I come back to like how strongly associated are they with Nintendo? If we were talking video game villains, easy. Kefka absolutely annihilates K. Rool, but K. Rool is the main antagonist in an entire sequence of some of the most beloved games, and certainly one of the major franchises when we were growing up for the Donkey Kong Country series. And one of the things I really like about K. Rool is that he's very versatile. So, I mean, Kefka is really just a one-note thing. He's the psychotic clown that murders things, and that's great. I love it. But I mean, K. Rool, he starts out as a king with a little crown. He comes back and he's like a pirate, and then the next one he's like an evil doctor. Like, he's got all these different little versions and different things. There's a whimsy to him as he goes through it. And I like that you use the argument of Kefka wins. So I mentioned in the run-up to this episode that you'd be excited about one of the pieces of my rubric, and I call it the Palpatine argument for your infamous Palpatine argument. So if you're going to make the Palpatine argument on Kefka, you make the Palpatine argument for K. Rool. He wins basically every time. And then it's the heroes that are going back and trying to scrape back what he has already stolen. He's either stolen the bananas, he's stolen Donkey Kong himself, so on and so forth. So, I mean, he wins and then he just loses. And that's another part of my angle, but we didn't get into this here. So, again, just from the purpose of for Nintendo series and Nintendo properties, K. Rool is much more strongly iconic than Kefka in his, for me, lone singular appearance.
Great arguments. I very much enjoyed them, and you've got a lot to think about. Dr. Ryan, where are you on this one?
Yeah, I'm thinking very carefully here because I have a lot to say about Kefka, but I'm trying to be very mindful to choose arguments that are more direct counters to what Chad is proposing, which are all valid points, of course. I would say, firstly, the reason why Kefka takes it for me is the pure evil nature of his plots and the scope of his plots. He's going for not only world domination, so he's not just stealing bananas, he's going for complete obliteration of the entire universe. His goal is to take all of existence and erase it. And it doesn't matter what it requires for him to do that. He will lie, steal, and cheat his way all the way to that end. And for me, that's like quintessential villainy.
All right, Harry, where are you on this one?
I was King, not King. Yeah, no, King K. Rool.
King K. Rool, yep.
Yeah. Mostly because I've never played Final Fantasy VI, and it's on my progression of to play all the Final Fantasies.
That's the most offensive thing you could have said to me.
That is terrible, Harry. Get out.
All right, well, I was going to say I was leaning towards Kefka, but now I kind of want to be like, F you guys.
No. Which one are you on this one?
I'm going to switch to Kefka.
Okay. Chad, I wasn't aware that King K. Rool did go to medical school, which does make this a little bit more impressive. But we have three votes for Kafka. I'm sorry. King K. Rool is out of the competition, and Kafka will advance into round two. And finally, in round one, the panel is set to advance the Master of the Robot Masters, Dr. Wily from the Mega Man games, but Harry wants to see more growth for Wart from Super Mario Bros. 2. Ryan, tell us why Dr. Wily more than lives up to his name. Harry, explain why Wart is, well, dreamy. Harry, you can go first.
He's a derpy little frog in the subcon, and then you find out that he's all part of a mystery thing at the end of that game. I don't really have a strong vote for him. I also have not played many Mega Man games, so I'm not really well versed in Dr. Wily. But yeah, Wart's
Harry,
just
can I help you out here?
Sure.
There is no argument. Stop it. Absolutely stop it. There is no reason. I am absolutely gobsmacked that Wart wound up on this fucking bracket. Like, how in the name of God is this possible?
Drag her, ruin her life.
I liked that game, but it's Wart, for God's sake.
Thwarted,
like, when we
by
at the beginning. Exactly. He gets killed by eating his vegetables, so he's an American. Great, move on.
We get
like,
it.
Like, we talk about all these other bosses at the all these other villains at the top of the episode, and Wart gets on the bracket. Get out of here. Don't even bother. Don't waste your time with it.
Amazing.
I think he's
Harry-
cute.
Anything else besides he's cute?
I stand by that statement.
I stand by it. It's the Ponida argument. I think she's pretty. Dr. Ryan, do you want to save your argument for round two?
I can definitely save some Wily arguments for round two, but I will add that technically, I don't think Wart even really exists.
How dare you?
Well, he's a dream. Everything in Mario 2 is a dream.
Everything that happens in that game ends as a dream. Sorry, spoilers.
But what is a dream?
Wart isn't even like an actual person in that universe.
Well, I think he exists. It's just it's in the dream world. It's like the Teleron Riot of Nintendo.
Yeah, but it's not in the universe. Like, he doesn't really have physical form. Thus, he's never really a threat.
If Sniffits and Birdo exist, and they do, then logic would say that Wart also exists.
Listen, Wart wasn't even a threat in the dream world. It doesn't matter.
That's true.
All right. So I think we have three for Dr. Wily, one for Wart. I would like to see Wart come back. I'll say that, Harry. I think it's a bummer that he's never appeared again.
It sucks when Warts come back, though.
It is true. You got to freeze him. You got to get him off.
That's such a good like joke that they can write in Paper Mario or something.
Exactly. But we will be sending Wart off, and Dr. Wily will hop in his UFO and go to round two. And with that, we're at the end of round one. We're going to steal a giant ape's banana hoard, despite the fact that we are a meat-eating crocodile. We'll be right back after these messages.
$5 can't buy you much these days. In the 90s, a Big Mac extra value meal rang in at $4.59. Today, the same meal will cost you $7.89 and leave you filled with regret. You know who would never do that to you? The Great Pop Culture Debate. For just $5 a month, our Patreon supporters gain access to a treasure trove of unaired content, like those secret fries at the bottom of the bag. So if you're hungry for some delicious pop culture content, pass on the Big Mac and head to greatpopculturedebate.com to become a Patreon supporter today. Aw, now I'm hungry.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back for round two of our best Nintendo villain debate. Before we get to the Elite Eight, I'd like our panelists to share their social media and also let us know the first Nintendo game you remember playing. Dr. Chad, I'm going to start with you. Where can people find you and what's your kind of first Nintendo memory?
I have an Instagram. I don't go on it very much. I'm pretty sure it's at C Resniak. So C and then the last name of the host of the podcast. We share the same last name, so you can find it from there. Mostly I just go on there and troll for jiu-jitsu videos and stuff. But every once in a while I'll post something random. My first memory, I can't really triangulate it, but I'll actually go with what you mentioned earlier, which was watching Brian fighting Dracula at the end of Castlevania. I have this very distinct memory of me, like we were in our parents' room. Yep. I was over playing cards on the cedar chest, I think, and I was just putting out some playing cards, whatever. And he was just getting so, so mad. And for whatever reason, that's just absolutely stuck in my head to this day. So I know it's not me playing it, but that's the closest I can come.
The blinding rage is the only way to describe it. Thank you, Chad. And thank you for sponsoring this episode. I hope you're having fun with it. Harry, why don't you talk to us about your socials and your first Nintendo memory?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at IllGrillChill. So I-L-L-G-R-I-L-L-C-H-I-L-L, which is a banana's name, where I'm usually posting either about video games, stuff that I'm working on in terms of writing or teacher stuff. Or mashing all three of those into a cohesive idea.
Great. And your first Nintendo memory?
My first Nintendo memory vaguely is when someone bought me a Game Boy and I started playing Tetris in my kitchen. And it was like, what's happening? What are these shapes? And it was really fun and surprising. And that hooked me for the future. Yeah.
So thank you, Harry. And we're delighted to have you. He's been a longtime Patreon supporter. So we're grateful that you're here for this debate. Dr. Ryan, what do you have socials?
Not really. I used to have an Instagram. It's at Dr. D-O-C-T-A-H, Dr. Ryan. But don't bank on that. I haven't checked it in like a decade.
Yeah. So what's your first Nintendo memory?
So the first memory is a little foggy. I'm sure it had to have been playing Super Mario Brothers, but the first memory that really sticks with me was sort of this traumatic moment in Legend of Zelda level 6, getting murdered by Wizrobes and just being in abject tears for multiple days fighting my way through that level.
And that's why to this day he murders any wizard he sees on the screen. No, I'm just kidding. He also, I'll share this, I don't know if I should, but you used to, when you beat Nintendo games as a child, have your father document the finishing screen by taking photos. And they have photos of the final. It's the cutest thing.
That's so freaking adorable.
It's adorable. And
VHS footage of me finishing Zelda.
Yeah. Very cute. Thank you for joining us on this Nintendo episode. We're glad to have you back. For me, you can find me at Eric Resniak. I'll spell it since Chad did not. It's R-E-Z as in zebra, S as in snake, N as in Nancy, Y-A-K. I'm on Instagram, or you can just message at Great Pop Culture to be on Insta or TikTok or at GPCDD, GPCD, not King DDD, on Mastodon or Blue Sky. We are moving away from Twitter because we are absolutely done with that. My first Nintendo memory is playing it at my Aunt Penny's house in Oneonta. I distinctly remember playing Mario Brothers 1 and watching her play Legend of Zelda 1. I was far too young to play it, but I remember being completely transfixed by the manual with all the different creatures in it and the artwork explaining what they did. It was it transported me. It was amazing. So there you go. We're all longtime Nintendo fans here. Let's put in the Konami code for Unlimited Lives and move into round two. First, it's Mario Big Bad Bowser, who is currently poised to claw his way into round three over Metroid fixture Ridley. Ryan, why is Ridley the better beast in this battle? I will bring the fire as I defend Bowser. I'll go first. Bowser, or King Koopa if you're nasty, and I am, is one of the oldest Nintendo villains, having first appeared in 1985 in Super Mario Brothers. As this releases, we are 1 year away from Bowser's 40th birthday, and I'd like to remind him, if he's listening, that he should really start thinking about getting a colonoscopy. I mean, he clearly eats a lot of red meat, I'm just saying. Is Bowser a turtle? Is he a dragon? Is he a demon? Unclear. We know that he is a ginger, and that his manicurist is always on point. Initially, he was actually intended to be an ox, but that's not the way the pixels rendered. So voila, we have whatever the hell he is today. He has appeared in dozens of games at this point, typically the antagonist for every Mario game aside from the Mario Land titles, and he has increasingly become a playable character in the Mario Party, Smash Brothers, and Mario Kart games. In addition to his physical prowess, strength, claws, fire breath, punishing stomp attacks, he also has a literal army at his command, including magic wielders, hammer throwers, and more. He is not a joke. And yet his motivations are kind of stupid. He keeps invading the Mushroom Kingdom over and over again, specifically kidnapping Princess Peach in an effort to coerce her into marriage. And like, bruh, it's time to take the hint. There have to be other ladies somewhere in the related kingdoms, and clearly some of them have to be into whatever it is you're into. In fact, he must have found some in the past, because he has a slew of children, as seen in the Mario Brothers games, as well as Bowser Jr. from Mario Sunshine. So instead of constantly stalking and harassing this poor woman who's clearly not into you, maybe focus on your juvenile delinquent children, or pursue someone who you are not creeping out. Which leads me to my final point. Given all of that, Bowser is canonically an incel who is prone to violence, and I cannot think of a scarier threat in the 2020s. With that being said, I pass it over to Ryan.
Well, Bowser is getting up there in age. I do agree. I believe he did it his way and used Cola Guard. I'm not sure, though. I think he's in all right shape.
Yep.
I think I'm going to stick with Ridley on this one, and this may just be a personal bias. I tend to gravitate more toward villains who are less cartoony, less comic relief-y. Like, yeah, they have, like, evil to them, but if they're too cartoony for me, I can't wrap my head around them as, like, a real terrifying threat. And Ridley, one fun fact which has not been mentioned yet, in the canon backstory of how Ridley is introduced, is actually a space pirate attack against the planet where Samus is originally from. And Ridley murders Samus's mother right in front of her. And so this traumatizes Samus and sort of starts this vendetta revenge kind of narrative between Ridley and Samus.
Interesting. I didn't know about that part of it. Mm-hmm. In your research, did you discover, is the name Ridley a play on Ripley from Alien?
I don't know if that's been confirmed, but yes. I feel like I read someone say that it's suspected that that's a reference.
Yeah. Okay, great. Harry, where are you on this one? Bowser or Ridley?
Bowser all the way.
Okay. Chad, where are you on this? Dr. Chad, excuse me.
In terms of sheer villainy, Ridley does beat out Bowser just because Bowser is a little bit more cartoony comic relief. But if you're talking best Nintendo villain, if Bowser is not in the final four, then we may as well just delete the podcast. Though, just as a point of information, the Koopalings, like from Mario Brothers 3, are not his actual kids. Bowser Jr. is the only actual like Bowser kid.
Well, you learned it here first, folks. Bowser's kids are not Bowser's kids. All right, so I believe that is 3 for Bowser and 1 for Ridley. That means Bowser will advance into the final four, and Ridley is blown out of the space hatch. That's the Ridley death noise. Next, the majority of the panel wants to smash with Mortal Kombat quasi-boss Goro, who is slamming the life out of fart-fueled Mario nuisance Wario. But Harry wants W's in the chat for the anti-Mario. I'll take to the pit to defend Goro. I think for many people, Goro was one of the first fighting game mini-bosses that seemed impossible. Yes, you had mini-bosses in Street Fighter II, Vega, Balrog, etc., but when he showed up as a sub-boss in 1992's Mortal Kombat, you knew you were going to be absolutely screwed. He was physically imposing, a lumbering four-armed wall of flesh. He's also a far more memorable character than the actual boss of the OG Mortal Kombat, Shang Tsung, who was serving up old man yells at Cloud realness while shooting flaming skulls at you and morphing into all the other various fighters in the game. Goro has an instantly iconic appearance, and he was one of the primary figures used in the marketing for Mortal Kombat. Goro was replaced with a slew of subsequent sub-bosses, including Tiger-Striped Kentaro, Centaur Motaro, and Demon Moloch. They're all pale imitations of Goro, and I think NetherRealm knows it. Overall, Goro has appeared in 10 of the Mortal Kombat games, but he's only playable in a few of them. I think because because of that, he's special. And being able to play as Goro minimizes how much of a threat he actually is. So that is my Goro argument. Harry, do you want to defend Wario here? Why are you voting for Wario over Goro?
Well, I think it's the same argument I said before, that I have no affinity for Mortal Kombat. But I think Wario as a character is wonderful. He started off as the villain for, what is it, Super Mario
Bros. Land 2.
There we go. There.
Yep.
Where you go to space, you go to other places. I think the evolution of Wario is really fun as well, where he kind of starts as a bad guy and then he kind of evolves into, like, instead of bad guy, into goofy bad guy and nuisance. And I think that's a really fun iteration, especially in the Nintendo perspective as well.
Yeah, he's kind of the Hamburglar of the Nintendo universe, right? Is he like a bad guy? Not really. He's just fucking annoying. And Dr. Ryan, are you on this one?
I'm going to be siding with Goro on this one. For reasons that include how wonderful it is that Goro, I might argue, is the ultimate daddy fisting top.
Absolutely.
Though on the Wario side, again, my criteria of what was the boss fight like, the original Super Mario Land 2 boss fight against Wario is kind of a joke. It's one of those, like, jump on his head three times and he's done. Okay, he has three forms, so it's jump on his head nine times and he's done. But it's kind of simple. It's kind of oversimplified for me. Whereas Goro has a much more dynamic threat at the end of the game.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Chad, where are you on this one?
Goro. For best Nintendo character, Wario takes this running away. But best Nintendo villain, Wario's not really a villain anymore. He's an anti-hero. Like you said, he's a Hamburglar. And I think someone said it's he's delightfully annoying or something like that. And I mean, that's really what I aspire to as a as a person. but not villainy. So Goro for sure.
With that all being said,
Goro wins.
And he will advance into round three. Next, it's a showdown between big bads who keep coming back from the grave, Ganondorf from the Legend of Zelda series, and Dracula from Castlevania. Harry, it's a terrible night to have a curse, but a great time to stump for Dracula. Ryan, emerge from the desert and bring forth a calamity in defense of Ganondorf. Harry, you can go first.
So this one I was really torn over because I have a strong affinity for Ganondorf. I love the various iterations. I love the story arcs of that character. But what really hooked me with Dracula was its multitude in its portrayal, not only in the games, but the TV show on Netflix that was inspired by the games. That really was my first dynamic introduction into that version of Dracula. And he was flawed. He was troubled. He had a strong motivation for what he was doing other than I want the world to burn. I want the world to burn because of what the world did to me and the people I loved. And I thought that was such a powerful story arc that really resonated with me. So then when I started doing my research, he kind of also has that aloofness to himself, from what I can tell, in Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And one of my favorite lines that I found was, "What is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets," which kind of goes into the whole story arc of, yeah, humanity effing sucks and I don't want them around anymore. So let's just off with their heads and let me just eat everyone.
Team Dracula.
Yeah, I was so gobsmacked about how much I love the iteration of it in the show that I want, like, it's another infamous backlog where I want to play all the Castlevanias. And in terms of modernity, there was a whole DLC package on Dead Cells, one of the indie games that's a roguelike that has its own, like, they got approved to do the Castlevania Return to Castlevania DLC, which is like a all-star version of Castlevania bosses as well as creatures. And you fight Dracula in a really cool boss fight, which could help with Ryan and his criteria.
Maybe. Let's see. Dr. Ryan, talk to us about Ganondorf.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough call. I really do enjoy the Castlevania series of games. They are very, very challenging. The boss fights are always very, very difficult. I guess the thing that tips the scale for me with Daddy Ganondorf is his iconic inclusion in the entire Legend of Zelda kind of pantheon and saga. I won't even begin to try to explain the timeline in the Legend of Zelda series. It's nearly impossible. And some argue that there actually is no timeline. It's all completely haphazard and was never meant to be explained in terms of a timeline. But Ganondorf's origin story and evolution to the Ganon form, the demise character, which I believe is from Skyward Sword, representing this ultimate pure evil hatred essence as being what Ganondorf reincarnates into time and time again, and his, you know, plot for world domination, complete obliteration of all other life in existence, is again one of those like high fantasy, real high stakes levels of villainy. Whereas Dracula, you know, he's got the intention, but it kind of limits to like that little Transylvania island a little bit.
It's an interesting point. The Palpatine argument could be applied to both of them here, right? Mm-hmm. That being said, Dr. Chad is the person who's pushing Palpatine argument. Where are you on this one?
I'm with Ganondorf for sure. Because I didn't read a ton into the backstory of the Castlevanias, but sometimes it's a little bit unclear as to if he's actually achieved his ends or if he's just kind of sitting in his castle, like wanting to, and people just come in and murder him. To kind of refute one of Harry's points here, you mentioned Symphony of the Night, which is my favorite Castlevania installment, not a Nintendo title. That was on the PlayStation. Mm. And then Lament of Innocence, which was, I think, shortly after that, is probably my second favorite. Also, not a Nintendo title. That's on PlayStation 2. If you haven't played either of those games, do so immediately. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. But Ganondorf is, for me, just a stronger character, much more iconic to Nintendo than Dracula is to Nintendo. Villainy, top tier for both of them, but in terms of Nintendo villain, Ganondorf by a wide mile. Like, it's Bowser is the most iconic easily, but then Ganondorf is like 2A. Ganondorf, all that for Nintendo villains.
Okay, I will say quickly that you can now play those games on Switch. They're downloadable, I know, because I have them.
Yeah, I was going to do that as well.
Yeah. Great. I am also voting for Ganondorf here. Dracula's awesome. The Castlevania games are awesome. But Ganondorf is, to me, one of the most iconic of the Zelda, of the Nintendo villains, meaning Ganondorf will continue and go into our final four.
And I will quote Dracula once again. What is a man? Like you guys, a miserable little pile of ...
Well, the good news is he'll be back in 100 years. Yeah. So next, finally, in round two, it's Final Fantasy VI Mastermind Kefka, who is currently set to dismantle the technological terrors of Dr. Wily from the Mega Man series. But Ryan and Chad are designing a plot to push Wily into the semifinals. Ryan, jump into the saucer and say, save Wily. I'm going to have you go first.
Yeah, I do like Wily. He's nefarious, he's cunning, he's manipulative, he's seeking world domination like a lot of these villains also are. He's got an interesting origin story where he and Dr. Light were actually colleagues and then became sort of academic rivals. And then he got kind of frustrated by Dr. Light's success and that kind of twisted him and turned him against Dr. Light and the rest of the world. One interesting thing I think about the boss fights, which include Dr. Wily in the mainline Mega Man games, is he always ends the fight in the same posture, this like prostrating, woe is me, I'm not worthy, child's pose kind of thing. And time again, Mega Man makes the terrible mistake of showing him mercy and he gets away every time.
You fool.
You fool.
Yes. Great. Chad, where are you voting? You're sticking with Wily here?
Oh, yeah.
Harry, where are you on this one?
Kefka.
This is a tough one because Wily has how many games, Chad? 10, 11 to his credit?
Just mainline, yeah. And then you've got like the soccer and all the Game Boy ones because he's involved in those too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Final Fantasy VI is the only canonical Kefka, especially Nintendo appearance, but I will make this argument. It takes longer to play Final Fantasy VI than it does to play all of the Mega Man games combined. Absolutely. So it is actually as much of a playable experience with Kefka as it is with Dr. Wily.
And Kefka is involved all the way through the game. That's another, you know, point that I consider in favor of Kefka. He's one of those villains which is with you the whole time. There's a lot of character development. He's not just this end boss that you get to the end of the game and that's the first time you're seeing them. And that's actually something that a lot of the Final Fantasy games suffer from, where you're going in one direction the entire time and you get to the end and like you discover, oh, the real threat is chaos or whatever. It's like this shock character at the end. Kefka is involved all the way through.
Yep, that's a very good point. So I believe we are currently deadlocked. 2 for Wily, 2 for Kefka. Ryan, are you staying with Wily or are you switching to Kefka?
No, I'm on Team Kefka.
Okay. So it's a good debate, and I think both of them are worthy opponents, but that means Dr. Wily is out and Kefka...
I have one more entreaty.
Yes, go for it.
One more entreaty. Ryan, it actually surprises me a little bit that you would go against Kefka here, or a Wily, because as somebody who owns a doctorate, you know how crazy those programs can make you. So have a little sympathy for the man who went through the doctorate program and became an evil genius. Like, there are days where I'm just like, you know what? I want to build some robots and I just want to take over the world.
So your argument is we should reward that?
As a villain? I mean,
yeah. And when you talk about sort of development, like there is an active development with Wily where he does start out as being not a bad guy. He starts out as being a colleague and then, through petty, bitter human nature, he becomes this evil, twisted maniac and tries to kill people. Mm-hmm. But I just keep coming back to like for Nintendo, Wily has been in Nintendo titles for 20 plus years, whereas Kefka had his one and done.
Neither one is a Nintendo original, though, right? They're both from third-party publishers.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah, because that's all Capcom.
Capcom Square. Well, I'll add Kefka has a similar backstory origin as well. He was the first to experiment with Magitek technology, and that's what twisted his brain.
Yes, but was it Dr. Palazzo or was it simply Master Palazzo?
I'm not sure of. I don't know if he had his master degrees in Magitek at the time in that world.
He became a god, so I think he could bestow himself an honorary doctorate. And I have to say, where is your god now? But that being said, Kefka will advance and Dr. Wily is destroyed. And with that, we have our final four. We're going to take another quick break to put new batteries into our Wiimote. And yes, that is absolutely a double entendre. We'll be right back after these messages.
Do you suffer from FOMOphobia? That's the fear of missing out on important events that connect you to the world. You don't want to be the only person at work not talking about the most recent episode of the show everyone's dying to watch, right? Why not sign up for the Great Pop Culture Debate's free weekly newsletter? You'll get a curated list of upcoming releases in TV, music, film, and games, so you'll never be left out of the conversation. Avoid the FOMO. Head to greatpopculturedebate.com and subscribe today.
And we are back with the final four of our best Nintendo villain debate. At this point in the show, I always like to take a step back and see if it's where I thought we would end up. We have Bowser versus Goro, Ganondorf versus Kefka. So we have 2 original Nintendo properties versus 2 third-party ones. I don't know if this is where I thought I would end up. Dr. Chad, as the sponsor for this episode, what are your thoughts on this final four?
Bowser and Ganondorf, I assumed those are good. Kefka and Goro don't strike me as like iconic Nintendo villains. But certainly they're iconic. And I think we're kind of showing our age a little bit with who's in the final four here.
Although I would say, have there been that many more iconic villains that have been introduced in Nintendo since the 90s? Mostly they just keep taking existing IP and rewashing it, right?
Yeah, I think the ones that were modern-ish were the ones that we talked about in the Patreon pre-episode that were more modern. Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're not a Patreon supporter, please do that, and you get to listen to our warm-up, and we talk about the villains we were sad didn't make it. With that being said, we're going to go into this final four around the horn. Bowser versus Goro, I'm going to start with Dr. Chad. Where do you vote?
Bowser, for sure.
For sure. Harry, where are you?
Bowser.
Dr. Ryan.
I love me that fisting top energy, but yeah, I'm going to go Bowser here.
Okay. I am also going to go with Bowser. Goro's a great sub boss. He's not even the big boss of the game, but at the end of the day, Bowser is definitively a Nintendo villain who has been with us for almost 40 years. So we will knock Goro out of the bracket.
Finish him.
Secondly, it's Ganondorf versus Kefka. I'm going to start reverse order. Dr. Ryan, where are you going?
Yeah, this is a tough call. I'm going to stick with Kefka here, though. You know I love me that Daddy Ganondorf, but Kefka takes it from me.
Harry, where are you?
I am in a difficult spot because I freaking love Ganondorf, but I also am unfamiliar enough with Kefka. But all the arguments I'm liking about Kefka. So I think I'm going to switch to Kefka.
Interesting. Dr. Yeah. Chad, where are you?
I'm Ganondorf. Again, pretty easily. The iconic nature for Ganondorf to Nintendo properties is what really sells me here. I mean, been a major antagonist in what is probably, what, the second, third most popular franchise in Nintendo, easily.
Yeah.
A lot of different formats in terms of how he's come back. There's a whole mythology around it. I mean, the aesthetics on Calamity Ganon, I still consider that part of him as just incredible. Sure. How they fleshed out his backstory with Tears of the Kingdom, made him out to be sort of a strategist, kind of borderline insane. Like, there's a lot more depth to that character than there is to Kefka, who's just straight up murder kill. Like, and listen, I like Kefka. I enjoy Kefka a lot. One of my favorite Final Fantasy villains of all time, but iconic Nintendo villain, not to me. Ganondorf is absolutely much more iconic.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on Team Ganondorf here. And if the main argument that we've been using for Kefka is that he won and he succeeded, Ganon did too, and he's actually done it a couple different times. Calamity Ganon destroyed Hyrule, like destroyed it. So did the Demise even before Skyward Sword starts. And he also technically did it, depending on which ending you believe, for Ocarina of Time. Like, Ganondorf has done all of the things that Kefka has done, but he's done it multiple times over the course of his long, complicated lifespan. Kefka did it once. So I'm definitely Team Ganondorf here. Harry and Ryan, are you sticking with Kefka?
I'm switching.
Are you sticking with Kefka, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to die in this hill, which was probably one of the hills of Doma, which Kefka poisoned all of its citizens.
He did.
Stick with Kefka. And because, partially related to that reasoning, Kefka's involvement in the game experience is consistent the entire way through, whereas Ganondorf / Ganon is kind of like the guy you get to at the end but don't really interact with until then. And for me, that's a major piece of the puzzle. Their involvement, their immersion in the main plot.
I think that's true for the historical games, but it's not true for you have to repeatedly fight Demise in Skyward. You have to repeatedly fight Ganon in Tears. Like, he's constantly attacking you. It's horrible. You haven't played those. That being said, I believe it is 3-1 for Ganondorf. So that will be the end for Kefka. And it is a final two of Bowser versus Ganondorf. One could argue it's a little bit cliched, but here we are. I'm going to start right in the middle. Harry, where are you, Bowser or Ganondorf?
Bowser all the way.
I'm going to go to Dr. Ryan. Where are you?
Ganondorf.
Dr. Chad, where are you?
Ganondorf.
I think for me, what tips it is, Bowser does have kind of a stupid approach to why he's doing what he's doing. His methods are not great. He keeps flying himself against the wall. Whereas I love the mythology that is embedded into Ganondorf. And listen, they're totally different types of games, right? It doesn't make sense for Bowser to have this grand mythology. But Ganondorf and Zelda and Link being in this constantly dying and reborn cycle and like always finding themselves in the same ridiculous situation, which with different approaches every time, is really compelling to me. And I love it. Whether it was intended to be that way or not, it works so well. Anybody have anything to add? Harry, are you sticking with Bowser here?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm noticing that I'm in the minority on 90% of the ones I'm participating in.
That's okay.
That I think we all just have different criteria on how we're like creating our lists.
Yes.
So the old people are doing it the wrong way. Harry's doing it the right way.
I love that. Slap at us with the generational argument. That's very good. Anybody else have anything else to say with Ganondorf, or is he just Yes,
Dr. Yeah, Ryan. Just kind I'll go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, sure. I'll add one of the criteria that I've been using all along is what the experience of the boss fight is. Between these two, I would say Ganondorf is more epic. It's more challenging. It requires getting good. There's just more meat to it. There's more substance to those final encounters.
Or if you're Eric and playing Tears of the Kingdom, it involves saying, I'm not going to do this, and then going and watch the YouTube in which you see how it ends. Dr. Chad.
Oh, I'm going to be a little nasty here. Yeah, I'm going to be a little nasty here. Eric, how many Mario Brothers games have you completed and like finished and beaten the bosses?
Most of them, probably.
How many of the Zelda ones have you fully completed and beaten the bosses?
Far fewer.
It is. Yeah. Sorry, buddy. I had to call you out on that.
No, it's
you,
true.
You have a terrible pattern. Hard. You get to like the room right in front of the last boss, and then just like, I'm done. And I just, it blows me away. One of the criteria that I've used throughout this whole thing is like the Palpatine argument, obviously. But the Palpatine argument exists because then they have to go back and they have to lose. And so for me, I've always been trying to consider what's their method of failure. And I've boiled it down to two major things. They lose because of hubris, or they lose because of incompetence. And that's one of the major things that I think separates these two, is that Ganondorf is either typically just like chilling and regenerating or holding down a castle, but he's not like comically inept in the way that he loses. He's just kind of like overconfident. I've already destroyed everybody. And then he just lets this little naked dude run around and get enough hearts that he can come back and beat him. Whereas Bowser is almost completely, it's because he's just straight incompetent. You can argue that hubris plays a role too, but especially in the Paper Mario and most of the modern games, he's shown to be pretty stupid. And I can forgive hubris. I can't forgive incompetence. So that's kind of my last statement on that.
It's an excellent, excellent point. So there you have it, folks. Our winner for the best Nintendo villain is Ganondorf. Do you think that we made the right decision? Do you want to rage quit and do a hard restart of this game? Tell us how you really feel by leaving a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com, or find us on Instagram, Facebook, Mastodon, or TikTok. While you're there, make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast so you can hear about what new debates are coming soon, vote in open polls, and even decide which topics we tackle next. If you really enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to like and rate the episode on Apple, Spotify, or whatever platform you listen on. I want to say thank you to my panel. This was a real Mario Party. And thank you for listening. If you loved what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, where you can get even more exclusive content and you get episodes a whole day early. We hope you have a good one. And remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinion.
Oh, I miss.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.